Welcome to Soul Church Norwich Podcast. We pray this message will encourage and inspire you.
All right, this is a practical message. I said we were concluding this Belongs to God series, and I had loads of people say don't end it, so we're not going to end it till the end of the year. I've enjoyed it, and I know people have enjoyed it too. So this is a really practical message. This is John Norman at his most practical. All right, so some days we'll preach and other days we'll really teach practically. And this is one of those messages. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this series. We thank you for those who are watching right now via Facebook Live. I pray that you speak to them, speak to us right here. And Lord, I pray you change us and transform us through your word. Amen. If you are watching by Facebook Live, it's great to have you with us. If you're living in Norwich, you should be in church. Has anyone ever wished they'd had more time? No, just me? Do you know today is the oldest you've ever been and the youngest you'll ever be? It's deep, isn't it? Some of you are like, oh, has he got that right? I've got it right, don't you worry. The oldest you've ever been and the youngest you'll ever be. No matter what we do, time always seems just to keep going at the same rate. 5 weeks to Christmas, 18 weeks to Easter. It'll be cross equals love again, you know. And we could keep going, couldn't we? Time. I want to talk this morning a simple message called This Time, or My Time, Belongs to God. Now, as I study Jesus' life, as you do, I'm amazed that he never seemed to be in a hurry. I evaluate my year like many of you do. I'm a goal setter. I write things down and I aim for things. Sometimes I hit them, sometimes I don't. But it's good to do that. And one of the things I was evaluating my year this week, and I'm always in a hurry. I'm always rushing from one appointment to the next. I'm always trying to get to that person from that person. I'm always trying to do that. Is anyone else like me? You're constantly fighting time. You've got to drop the kids off, get to school, get to the assembly. You're constantly just battling. In fact, I feel like I'm at war with time. I feel like we have this love-hate relationship. I'm constantly battling time. Then I look at the life of Jesus. In fact, Jesus Christ was doing the most important job in history. He was redeeming humanity, yet he was never in a hurry. He never was in a rush. I mean, he said, consider the lilies. I mean, have you ever walked past a flower and just took time to consider it? I don't know about you. I've got time to consider the lilies. I've got to build a church. I've got to get to pick the kids up. I've got time to... Then he said... Look at the birds of the air. I can't look at the birds. There they are. I've got no time for the birds. I've got kids. I've got to look at the kids. I mean, Jesus constantly spent time with the children, didn't he? He took them into his arms and he took time to bless them. Jesus was, in fact, there's not a verse in Scripture that Jesus is ever in a hurry or he ever ran. He was never breaking the speed limits. Never got caught on camera. He was just constantly relaxed, chilled out. Now, the Bible gives us some great insight into how time can actually become your friend rather than your enemy. And so much of my life, and I know for some of you, maybe your life, is a constant fight against time. Come on, let's just be honest. You're used to me by now. Now, our challenge is not to manage time, but to manage ourselves. Because you can't manage time. Time just keeps going. It doesn't slow down, doesn't speed up. It is constant. It keeps going. The Bible uses another word instead of managing time. The Bible uses a word of redeeming the time. And Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. He says this. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly, it means making the most of every opportunity. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Who knows that we live in not so good days right now? Evil things are happening around us, and we've got to make the most of every moment that God gives us. So I'm going to give us an acronym today of the word time. I'm going to break it down really simply for us into four letters, four words, to help us redeem time. To spend it wisely. The first word, obviously beginning with T, is treasure. I believe God wants us to redeem time by treasuring it. Treasure. If I was to ask you, what is the most valuable possession, obviously not people, but possession in your house, maybe you'd say it's my TV, maybe it's your Apple Macintosh, maybe it's the gold in the attic, maybe it's the Panini sticker album. I don't know what your prized possessions are, but time is our most valuable commodity. Now, we do not own time, we are stewards of time. In fact, God loans us time. And David, he's struggling with this, and he asks God for help. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 12, God speaks to him. He says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's very interesting. Humanity numbers their years, but God teaches us to number our days. If I was to ask you how old you are, you'd probably lie to me and say you're a little bit younger, okay? But the reality is we number our years. Now, today, John Norman is 13,895 days old. If you're really clever, you'll work out how old I am. You'll also work out my birthday's coming up. But today is treasure from God. We've got to treasure every moment that God gives us. Isn't it amazing that we treat our phones, our televisions, our jewelry, we treat it like treasure. But the reality is, if your phone cracks, you can get a new one. If your TV breaks down, you can get a new one. Even if your house was to burn to the ground, you could work and build a new one. But here's the thing with time. We've got to treasure it, because you'll never, ever get the 19th of November 2017 ever again. Once it's gone, it's gone. And that's why we've got to treasure every moment. You know, the old quote says, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called a present. Today is literally a present from heaven. God has given us this gift wrapped up called today. We've got to treasure time as the most valuable asset that we have in this world. The second letter in our word time this morning is invest. Invest. You know, we use a lot of phrases when it comes to time that aren't actually impossible. We say things like, we can buy more time. You can't buy time. Find more time. You can't find more time. Make more time. You can't make more time. There's only 24 hours in a day. Or save more time. You can't bottle time. Once time's gone, time is gone. But what you can do is invest time. Invest time into different areas of our lives. Where I invest my time is actually far more important than where I invest my money. You see, if I invest my money in a dodgy stock or a bad investment, as bad as that is, I still got the opportunity to reinvest and recover what was lost. But here's the thing with time. You can't get time back. That's why David said, teach me to number my days. And where we invest our time actually reveals a lot about who we are as individuals. You know, we have 168 golden hours every week. 168. Not 167. No one has more. No one has less. We all have exactly the same amount of time. The average person spends 56 hours a week sleeping. Some of you students might do a couple more or less. We spend 24 hours on eating and personal hygiene. Some of you need to do a little less of the first, a little more of the second. I'm just kidding. We spend 50 hours a week working or traveling to and from work or overtime. That leaves us with 35 hours left. 35 hours. Now, if you divide those 35 hours out, that's 5 hours a day. So actually, we don't have 24 hours a day. We have five. Now, where am I investing those 5 hours? I have to go to work. I've got to eat. I've got to have a shower. I can't gain hours there. It's not good for people around me. I've got to travel to work. I've got to travel back to work. And that leaves me, give or take, roughly 5 hours a day. And if you were to follow me around for 5 hours, for those 5 hours, and observe me, you would tell me this. This is what you would tell me. John, I now have identified what is the most important things in your life. I can't change where I work, just like you can't. I've got to go to work. I've got to be away from my family in those time. I can't do anything in the car. But those 5 hours will tell you a lot about me. Would you see me in my devotion? Would you see me exercising? Would you see me spending time with my children? Would you see me spending time in front of the TV? Would you see me spending time with my wife? Would you see me on social media? Would you see me playing sport? What does John Norman do with 5 hours a day? Because the reality is, I don't have 24 hours, and nor do you. You have five. You might not like it or agree with it, but for some of you, surfing the internet is the most important thing in your life. How do I know that? Because if I was to follow you and see where you spend 5 hours, the majority of those hours would be on the internet. For some of you, it would be playing games. Some of us, it's watching box sets. And the reality is none of those things are bad. But when they're in the wrong order in your life, and the balance swings the wrong way, it actually has a knock-on effect later in life. You know, the average Brit spends 9 years of their life watching TV. 9 years. Now, I've had the privilege, and I'll say it's a privilege because it is a privilege, to be there at the bedside of many people as a pastor who have passed on from this life to the next. And I've often heard people speak in the last moments of their life about the highs and maybe some of the regrets. But I have never, ever, ever heard of a person said, John, I just wished I'd been on Facebook for a few more hours every day. If I'd just watched television. But I have heard people say, I wish I'd spent more time helping people with my family, with my loved ones. You see, we don't have 24 hours a day, church. We have five. And those five critical hours define our legacy. Now, I know this is kind of like a little bit in your face today, but hey, I wanted to challenge us because I'm challenging myself. This was a really uncomfortable message because I've challenged myself this week as I've put it together. So I want to ask us this question. What are God's priorities on where we should invest those precious few hours? Because we only have a few hours a day. Maybe you're retired and you have a few more, but for the majority of people, we just have a few precious hours. So where should we invest them? Now, there's a whole load of places we haven't got all day, so I haven't got time, but these are just a few ideas where we could invest those precious hours. I believe the most important place that you can invest a portion of that time is with the Father, your Heavenly Father. And often our work, our hobbies, even church life activities get in front of time with our Heavenly Father. Now, the Pharisees are trying to trip Jesus up, and they're not just trying to trip Jesus up, they're also trying to figure out what is the number one priority in a person's life? And they pitch this question at Jesus. They say in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, to know and love God. Now, I want you to to know and love God. Often we think it's about us trying to know God more and to love God more. But actually, what Jesus was saying here is actually knowing God's love towards you. Jesus is saying the number one most important thing to do with those precious 5 hours, a portion of it, it doesn't even have to be hours, it can be minutes, but the number one, the first, the principle of the first here is this: time with your heavenly Father. I cannot love someone unless I spend time with them. I love my wife dearly, but the reason I love my wife dearly is because I spend time with her. But it would be very difficult for our love to grow and flourish if we did not spend time with one another. But John, I know how to love God, but I don't know how to love God. And this is what Jesus was speaking. How do I love God? How do I spend time with God? It's such a cliche in church. Spend more time with God. What does that mean? Especially if maybe you're new and you're a new Christian and you're trying to figure out, maybe you're a young Christian. Like, what does it mean to spend time with God? God is invisible. God is not in the room with me like my family. Well, this is how I do it. Is every morning I make a cup of tea and I sit, and the first thing I do is I sit in my chair, and this is what I do. I don't try and love God more. I simply meditate on His love towards me. And the greatest use of my time in the day is this: meditating on how much God loves me. And it's out of that love that I'm able to respond back to God with my love towards Him. But it was His love first. For God so loved the world. It was His love before my love. And so every day I say things like, I am dearly loved of God. I am chosen. You chose me, God. I didn't choose me. I did not choose me for this role. There's a whole lot of other things I could do in my life. But God chose me. And God chose you. And God chose your children. God chose you. So I can sit back knowing that I didn't choose myself. God chose me. And I say things like to myself, I am a child of God. I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. I was knitted together in my mother's womb. And as I sit there, what I do is I begin to meditate on His love towards me. And that is the number one greatest use of that 5 hours. Is meditating on His love towards me. Stop trying to love God more. Start understanding His love for you. And in that moment, the response from heaven as I receive His love is this: He restores my soul. David talks about it, doesn't he, in the famous chapter of Psalm 23. He restores my soul. You know, we invest in our bodies at the gym, or we go for a run. We invest in our minds by stimulating them, by reading a book. So many of us neglect our soul, our spiritual well-being. We are body, mind, and soul. In fact, we should start with soul. We are soul, we are mind, we are body. We've got it all the wrong way. We say body, mind, soul. Let's tag Jesus at the end. No, let's start with Jesus at the beginning, because Jesus will renew your mind, which will affect your body. It begins with Jesus. I'm telling you, when you seek Him, you will find Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me when you search for me with all your heart. God is there. Invest in time with our Heavenly Father. The second investment for us when it comes to helping us redeem time is investing in time with our loved ones. Now, I've said loved ones because some people, we don't have necessarily earthly family that is still around. And so we have people who are precious to us. And I want to encourage us to invest in the people that mean most to us. You know, we can be a public success, but a private failure. You can be a public success at work. You can be flying high. You can be, you know, scoring high, getting promotions, but be a private failure at home. I say that to myself as well. You know, our families, our spouses, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our children, they deserve our best, not our leftovers. Often we bring our best to work and we leave our leftovers for home. I believe our families, first of all, our Heavenly Father, but our families deserve our best when it comes to those precious hours. You know, God chooses your family. You choose your friends in life, but God chose your family. Now, for some of you, that's a struggle. For me, I had a great family. I've got a great family, and it's easy for me to say that. But for some of you, and I know for Chantel, that's a real struggle for her to hear that because some of the things she went through, some of the things you've been through. You got to trust God. You got to trust God with that. And I want to encourage you to keep spending time with family, even when it hurts. You know, my dad, my late dad, who passed away in 2010, his mother pretty much rejected him his whole life. There was times where she didn't, but majority of her life she rejected him. And as a young man, I watched Dad respond to this rejection. You know, his rejection, we've talked about it so much in this church, but it's such a painful thing to deal with as a human. But, you know, every Christmas, every birthday, every Mother's Day, he would always take a present over to her house. And she lived out on the Suffolk coastline, and he would drive out there. And even if she never opened the door, he'd always leave a card and a present and drive back. And sometimes those presents were even sent back in the mail to his house. But let me tell you, he always honored. He continued to love. He always spent time. You know, what was the last thing that Jesus did on earth? He turned to John, the beloved, and he said, "Hey, this is my mom. Love her." The last thing that Jesus ever did on this earth was made sure his mom was looked after. I want to encourage us to treasure time with family, treasure time with friends, making sure that they're looked after. "Oh, but John, you don't know how they've treated me." Let me tell you, I don't know. All I know is if it wasn't for your mom, if it wasn't for your dad, you wouldn't be sitting there today. And the only thing that you can honor them for is the fact that you're alive. That's enough. Now, that's hard. That's hard to listen to. But I want to encourage us, treasure time with family. Treasure time with loved ones. Invest in those loved ones. You know, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." It doesn't say, "Leave a child, let him find his own way." It says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I want to encourage us as parents, we've got to train up our kids. Who wants your children to have, you know, morals in their life? Here's the thing, I've realized that you can't teach morals if you haven't trained manners. Because manners are the foundation to morals. And so we're looking at the millennial generation, you know, the generation that was said that has no morals. The reality is, mum and dad never taught them manners. I want to encourage you, if your little child says something, you know, does something, doesn't say thank you, doesn't say please, just keep pulling them up in love. Because those little things, those little manners, let me tell you, one day they'll turn into morals. And it's a lot easier to train up a child than repair an adult. It really is. And so I want to encourage us to keep at a very early age, keep training up your children. Even when they're not listening, you'll be surprised what's not going in. Keep loving them. Keep training them up. And when they were old, when they're old, they will not depart from it. Let me tell you, I was an absolute tinker. And still am. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some of you need to have more fun. But hey, we've got to take time to train up our kids. Invest into them. Godly values into our children. Teach them morals for their life. Don't allow them to be looking at things on the internet. Don't allow them to be saying certain words. Don't be allowing them to see certain movies. Not because it's legalistic, because you want to make sure that they're being trained up in the right environment and in the right ways, in the right habits. Invest time in the loved ones. Another way to invest is to invest in your local church. I feel like I'm preaching to the converted today because you're all here. Psalm 92, verse 13. "Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God." You know, we're each called to serve and bring our gifts to God's house. I encourage you to take some of that time, that 5 hours a day, to invest your gifts, invest your time into others. helping others. You know what serving does is serving takes your eyes off your needs and your problems and your challenges. It's amazing when you start helping others how insignificant actually some of your challenges actually are. Invest time with the Father. Invest time with our loved ones. Invest time in the church. And this is just a random one for you. I could have given you 20 ways to invest your 5 hours, but, you know, invest time in adventure. Adventure. Everyone say adventure. We've lost the spark. We've got to get a bit of adventure back. When was the last time you had an adventure? Going to the chip shop on a Friday night and hiring a movie is not an adventure. I'm inspired by people in our church, people like Colin and Miriam Howell. You guys should follow them on social media. I mean, every day is an adventure for the Howells, isn't it, Colin? They're always tearing off to Eastern Europe and climbing a rock up a mountain with 5 kids or 6 or however many it is these days. It's amazing. I love a bit of adventure. I met someone a few years ago. He said, John, I've got rid of my passport. I don't need that anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm quite happy here. I said, get a passport. Get some adventure in your life. I remember when I was just 5 or 6 years old, my dad packed his bags and we had to get up early and take him to someone's house, and they were taking a van full of Bibles into communist Poland. I remember just as a young man thinking, wow, one day I want to do something like that. I said, Dad, what happens if you get caught with the Bibles? He says, I don't know what they'll do. I thought, that's awesome. He came back, he told me a story. He said, literally, they checked cases on his truck. It was full of Bibles. Bibles were illegal back then. It was the underground church. They checked cases. He says the only cases they never checked were the ones with the Bibles in. I mean, talk about sweating. But he came back and we'd sit on his lap and he'd tell us stories. How these communist soldiers would be asking him questions. I think, this is awesome. You're sitting at home on your PlayStation. PlayStation, that's not an adventure. Come on. Every person should go on a global mission trip in their lifetime and explore the glorious, amazing work that God is doing all over the world. Stop getting comfortable in Norwich. Come on, pinch. No, don't pinch him. Push. No, don't push. Touch the person next to you and say, come on. It's time for some adventure. I was 17 years old when I went off my first adventure to Nigeria for 3 months. 17. I love it. We went to Pakistan a couple of years ago. Someone came up to me in the church and said, John, you might get shot. I'm like, well, if I do, I know where I'm going. If I don't, I've got a great story. Why don't we look at all the negative stuff? Come on, get some adventure back. Invest in adventure. So I'm going to jump out of an airplane. Go climb a cliff. Go on holiday with the house. Do something. Do something that's going to get some adventure back in your life. Get some adventure back in your marriage. Spice it up a little. I better stop. I better stop. Oh, I'm going to have some water. Knock, knock. John. John the Baptist. This is your first time in church. I'm very sorry. I'm also a canon of the Church of England. I do behave. That's why you should stay at home and watch it on Facebook and don't get wet. Come on, we need a bit more adventure. Come on. What's happening at the back there? Some adventure, Hilly? Hilly, see, Hilly's up for an adventure. She'll climb a mountain. Come on, let's have a bit of Holy Ghost adventure back in our lives. Amen. I could keep preaching this stuff all day. All right. The third thing we've got to do, we've got to treasure it, invest it. Number three, the third acronym is we have to manage it, manage our time. It's not just about managing our time, it's managing us, managing that investment. And I've got this illustration here. I'm going to put some large rocks into this glass vase. I'm going to be very careful. I feel like anything could happen today in this church. Now, these large rocks are these things we've been talking about, things that are important to us, time with the kids, our work, education, really kind of non-negotiables in our lives that we have to put into our lives. And then there's some other things that we kind of have to do, like go to the gym, look after each other, serve in church, things that are negotiable at a certain level. And then there's things that we do, like watching movies, doing other stuff, and suddenly our lives get pretty full. And we realize that actually, we get to the end of the day and we've done all these things. And let me tell you, every single one of those things are important because they're either leisure or work or looking after the kids, picking them up. But we realize we get to the end of the day and we've missed this God. And this is where we have to manage our day. And you might think, well, what's the lesson here? Is the lesson in time management? Maybe it's no matter how busy you are, you can always squeeze a bit more in because you can still get a bit more in there. Go and visit your mates. See, there's still room. Still fine. So maybe the lesson is cram as much in your day as you can. I actually think the lesson is this. Unless you put the big rock in first, it won't fit. Because if I try and put my time in with God after I've seen my wife, the kids, the gym, and doing all those things which are really important, the problem is it doesn't quite fit. And so many of us, me included, we live our lives like that, that God kind of gets put to the back. But Jesus teaches us this really simple principle about time. He says this, seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first in your life. Then he says, all these other things. I can't lift that. Look good. All the other things will be added unto you. But it starts by putting God in the center of your life. You see, often we treat our lives like a list. God, family, school, education. We work for our list. But I don't think God is like that. I don't think life should be like that because life is always out of balance. But if God's at the center, everything else can just work around it. So I want to encourage you that, in fact, it's amazing that time, if this is my biggest rock, this has to be the biggest rock in my life, God. It has to even be bigger than my own family. Because if this flourishes, that flourishes. This knock-on effect with my kids and my wife. If God is first in my life, guess what? My wife is first. My kids are first. But if this goes out of kilter, I'm in trouble. Luke 20:17, Jesus looked at them and said, then this is written, the stone which the builders has rejected. You know how easy it is to reject this stone? It's the easiest stone. It's so much easier to fill our lives on social media. And the problem is the world has rejected the chief cornerstone, God. This is the solution to humanity. Right there. It is not 10 Downing Street. It is not the White House. Right there. This is the solution to the world's problems. To take time to meditate on God's love to you. Those special 5 hours every day will shape your life. What are we going to do with them? So the challenge is this. It's to identify what are the big rocks in your life. Now, the big rocks in your life might be different. I believe for all of us, this should be the biggest rock. But for some of you, you may not have family, so that your rocks may look different to my rocks. But, you know, my second rock, you know, on my wheel is my wife. My wife is my rock. And Chantel and I are now in our 12th year of marriage. And on the 7th of April, 2006, we made a covenant with one another. A covenant. We didn't just have feelings. We didn't throw around a few loose words. We made a covenant between God and those in attendance. And the covenant was simply this: I will love you till death do us part. It didn't say I will love you till my feelings run dry. Because from time to time in any marriage, they run dry. I'll tell you why they run dry. Because Chantel has not been a rock in my life. She's become a sand or a pebble. She's become third, fourth in my life. But when she's a rock, when her needs are before my needs, let me tell you, our marriage and our relationship strengthens. And so this is why you've got to identify what are the rocks in your life. And when you know what the rocks are, once they go into your day first, the rest can just fit around them. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. There's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with all these things. But guess what? They're not rocks. They're sand. And we've got to stop treating sand like it's a rock. You know the gym? It's just a pebble. Big picture, it's just a pebble. It's what Pastor Reverend Archie was talking about last year. It's just the jars of clay. Some of us are so consumed about what we look like on the outside, we're forgetting about the rocks of our soul. So my wife is a rock. And so I want to make sure that she feels like she's a rock in my life. Because I can speak about it. One of the ways I make sure she feels it is this, and this is a personal conviction. It doesn't have to be for you, but we go to bed together. We go to bed together. She doesn't go downstairs and I go upstairs and we watch. We do life together because I've got 5 hours. So we actually go to bed together. Now, she's been getting in late recently because of the wonder. But here's the thing. Because I am a man, I do not go to sleep until she gets in. Because I want to make sure she knows her rock is waiting for her. Because I'm a man. Oh, I've had a hard day. She can work her own way up the stairs. No. I'll wait for her. I love her. And I want the last things that she hears that night is that her husband loves her. And so I made a commitment. She's a rock. Don't live separate lives in the same house. Pull things together. For some of you, it really is today. It's going to be time to go home and actually think about what are the rocks in your life. The mates down the pub, they're not rocks, they're sand. You might need them, but not as much as your kids, and not as much as your wife, and not as much as your time with your Heavenly Father. Identify what those rocks are in your life and daily place them in their rightful position. And then the sport, the fun, all that is just sand and water. And it can fill in the missing gaps of your day. But keep those rocks. What else is a rock? Well, I'm going to give you another rock. This is an important rock. This rock is nowhere near as big as my Heavenly Father or time with my kids or my wife, but this is the rock. You ready? Me time. M-E time. John needs time. And you need time. Every one of us, there's four things we need in life. Time with our father, time with our spouse and kids, time with our friends, and time alone. Time alone. Who's like me? I need me time. I've got to have time with me. I cannot do life without me time. Me time is me going for a run, me just having a play around in the park, doing some exercise, reading a book. I need me time. Okay, so I've got to work out if I've got 5 hours, where am I going to fit me time? It might not happen every day, but I need me time and you need me time. You need time to reflect and analyze and pray. And just so you've got to work out what that is. And so we all need to stop, press, rest, repair, reset buttons in our life. Evaluate what are the big rocks in your life. Xbox is not a rock. Tell you, the hours that are squandered on gaming, parents, switch them off and get your kids out. Honestly, they're not rocks in your life. I'm going off on a tangent. Facebook is sand. Work out what the priorities are for your life. Number four, treasure, invest, manage. Anyone guess what E is? Enjoy. Anyone say enjoy?
Enjoy.
Enjoy. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and live life more abundantly. The message says, more and better life than they'd ever dreamed of. I'm getting hot. Thanks, Mark. Enjoy life. Jesus doesn't want us just to treasure, invest, or manage ourselves. He wants us to enjoy our time. You know, I'm learning. I say learning because it's a process. Actually enjoy life. Not endure it, enjoy it. You know, life's going a whole lot better than you think it is. You could be living somewhere else in the world right now, but you're living right here in the safety, the beauty, tranquility of Norfolk. There's no one hungry in this room. If you're hungry, come and see me. I will buy you lunch. I will. If there's someone hungry, literally hungry, I'll buy you lunch. There's no reason for anyone to be hungry. So we are enjoying life. I'm learning to enjoy the life that Jesus came to give me. Here's four things that I'm learning. Four things I refuse to do because I want to enjoy life. You want to write these down. Four things that you should refuse to do. Number one, I refuse to give my time to worrying about anything outside of my control. Who's got a few things outside of their control? I've got one. £6.5 million. Used to be seven. But it's now 6.5. Well, it's way outside my pay grade. There's actually nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to ask you for more money anytime soon. What's the point? You guys have sacrificed. So guess what? It's out of my control. So I'm just going to rest. Just going to rest. Just going to rest in the fact. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to waste 1 minute of those 5 hours worrying about anything outside of my control. Now, if I've been rude to someone, upset someone, I do that from time to time, I should worry about it. And I should spend my time putting it right. But never worry about things that are outside of your control, because worry takes time. Second thing I refuse to give my time to is regrets in the past. Regrets. Anyone else got any regrets? Oh, they say you should live with regrets. Hey, we've all got them. You should live with them, though. You don't have to meditate on them. I want to encourage you. You can't change the past. Third thing I refuse to give my time to is to answer critics. Don't answer critics. Let them blog about you, write about you, speak about you. Just leave it. Just leave it. Don't give them your time. Don't give them your energy. They're just not worth it. The fourth thing is I refuse to give my time to worry about the future. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. Worry would be a brilliant thing if it didn't take time. But unfortunately, it takes time. So you can worry about the past, you can't change it. You can worry about things outside of your control, you can't change them. You can worry about your critics, you ain't going to change them. And you can worry about the future. Here's the thing, our future's in God's hands. Church, it's time to enjoy life again. Time to enjoy family again. Time to enjoy your sleep again. Say yes to happy memories. Say yes to spicing up your life a little. Say yes to enjoying the favor of God. This is the day the Lord has made. Psalm 118:24. This is the day. Come on, let's place God number one in our lives. The center of the wheel in our lives. All these things will be added unto us. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Treasure, invest, manage, and enjoy. You know, my times are in God's hands. Your times. David said in Psalm 31:15, he said, my times are in your hand. We're not owners, we're stewards. I want to be a good steward of my 5 hours. I pray if you've learned nothing today, I pray you realize your day is a 5-hour day, not a 24-hour day. And you'll identify some rocks and you'll focus in on those important things. Some of you need to change some sand into some rocks. And some of you need to change some rocks into some sand. Because some of our priorities are all, I have had to do some identifying over the last few hours. I believe that God wants to help us in this area. And I want to pray right now for some people. You're struggling in this area of time. Maybe time like me, you're constantly fighting it and battling it. The best solution I have is this. But it takes time. See, if you sow it, you'll reap it. When you sow time with your Heavenly Father, somehow everything else seems to align in my life. But if I miss this, Christ alone, cornerstone. Right here, the cornerstone of my life. If this is strong, everything else works around. I want everyone just to close their eyes just for a few moments. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to give us greater wisdom in how we use our time. We can't change the hours in the day, change the hours at work, getting to work, getting from work, dropping the kids off. Those things are just non-negotiable. But those precious few hours that we do have, let's ask God right now for wisdom. Maybe we've identified some things that we need just to change and move around in our life so we place Jesus at the center, not at the edge, not at the end, but right in the center. And everything kind of moves around Jesus. If you've been challenged this morning, and my hand's about to go up first, but if you've been challenged by anything when it comes to time, treasuring it, investing it, managing it, just enjoying it, I just want you to lift up your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Thank you, God. Father, we all struggle with this from time to time. We get so busy and get so caught up with the things of this life. You understand that. You just love spending time with your children, just like we love spending time with our children. You love spending time with your kids. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would identify some sand that actually should be a rock. And we'd identify some rocks that need to become sand. And we'd place you as priority in our life and realize that if that goes in the center, the rest just kind of figures itself out. So I pray for wisdom this week. Wisdom, Father, as to where and how to use those precious hours that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I pray we would treasure time more than any earthly possession. Lord, we would invest it wisely. We would evaluate it and manage ourselves around it. And Father, we would enjoy it. Lord, you didn't just place us on earth to endure this life, but to enjoy it. I pray for those who've lost the enjoyment out of life. Lord, I pray even this week, Lord, that they would even look at those 5 hours and think, what are the things that I enjoy? What are the things that are precious to me? Me time and things that they love, and just find a little bit of time to do. Maybe it's painting. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's going for a run. Maybe it's arts and crafts or music, whatever those things, Lord. And Lord, that they would place joy in the center of their life. You love it when your children enjoy themselves, just as we love watching our kids enjoy ourselves. You love it when, in fact, your word says you take pleasure in it. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like there's some people in here and you need to start a hobby. You don't have any hobbies in your life. You don't have anything that outside of work and family. And God is saying today, I want you to actually, maybe you've got an interest in a certain area or a spark in a certain area, but life's just got so full because the rocks are all in the wrong places. And God is saying he wants you to enjoy life, and he wants you to learn to play a guitar or learn to play a piano or do something that actually you can take pleasure in and enjoy again. And just create some time. For others of you, maybe God is saying just to take a rest from social media. And with that spare time, just use it to read and to develop yourself. Use it to maybe do an online learning course or just do something to grow. God is wanting us to be good stewards of the time that He's given us.
Thank you, Lord.
I see marriages recovering. Right now I see marriages that have been torn apart because simply, it's not because actually you don't love each other, it's simply because the rocks are in the wrong places. And God is just highlighting some things, and I feel like there's some husbands that you need to go home and just let your wife know today that she is a rock. She's not the afterthought. She's not the chocolate at the end of a 5-course meal. She's the main course. She just needs to feel that again, and it's not too late. Some of us, this is probably me as much as anyone, just work can become the biggest rock, especially as men. We're so driven and want to achieve more and go further, faster. God just wants us to make sure that all the rocks are in the rightful places. Success is not defined by what you have in possessions or houses or money in the bank. Success is defined by who you have. That's true success. At the end of our lives, all that materialistic stuff will mean nothing, but who we have around us in those final moments will be our legacy. And I want us to spend our time, those 5 precious hours, investing not in what we have, but who we have. It's a word from heaven for us today. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, just move right now on your church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Sing this beautiful song. He's Lord. Come on, let's place Him Lord of our life. The cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Let's bring Him back to the center. Why don't we raise our hands? If you're weak this morning, God wants to lift you. Meditate on His love towards you right now. He is Lord.
How many of you received something out of that word this morning? I know I have. And I just want to take a moment this morning. Pastor John was talking about making sure that the most important things are what gets put in first, and seeking God first and putting Him first. I want to give an opportunity for people to actually do that this morning. Maybe you've never put God first in your life. Today is a day that you can begin to start that. You can begin to place God first in your life. One thing I know about time is this, is that time is God's grace given to us to be able to turn towards Him. That's why God gives us more time, because He's so passionately in love with each and every single one of you that He says, you know what, I give time. I'm not slack with time, but I give time so that way more people could know me and find me. And so just with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to give you the opportunity that if you've never made the decision to ask Jesus personally into your life and making Him Lord of all that we've been singing about, making Him first in your life, making Him a priority. It's more than just believing, but you also have to trust Him that He is who He is, that He's the Son of God, that He died for us. He took away all of our mistakes and shame and guilt and sin. And He comes to give us life and life more abundantly. A life where there's a future and a hope and eternity with Him one day. And just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to count to 3. And if that's you this morning, you say, that's me. I need to make Jesus a priority. I need to make God a priority. Maybe you've walked away from God. Today, you can walk back and you can come back home. You're welcome home this morning just as you are. You don't have to have it all together. You come just where you're at today and say, you know what? I need to come back to Jesus. So on the count of 3, just raise your hand when I get to 3. Just all over this room today, just acknowledge, just lift up your hand so I can acknowledge you and have the opportunity to pray with you this morning. 1, Jesus loves you today. 2, He has a hope and a future for your life? Will you give him the opportunity? Three, just lift up your hand wherever you're at across this room. I want to help you. I want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus this morning. Yes, thank you. Is there anybody else? Just simply raise it up really hand, really high, because thank you so much. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who says, you know what, I need to make Jesus a priority. I need to give him my time. Thank you. Is there anybody else this morning? Come on. People are giving their lives to Jesus. They're making a decision. This becomes a monumental moment in your life. Time's broken into two things. Chronos, which is the things that we measure time with, but then there's Kairos. Kairos is a God-ordained moment in time, and today is your Kairos, where God steps in and he meets with you and he wraps his arms of love around you this morning. Can we all pray this morning together as a family? Can we say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you loved me, that you took time to step out of eternity and to live on this earth, and you gave your life for me. You lived and you died for me, and you were risen again so that I might have new life. I invite you right now into my heart. I give you permission to be Lord, to be first, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give a great big hand again to those who have made that decision today? We want to celebrate with you in that decision, because it's the best decision you could possibly make, and you'll never have any regrets with making that decision today. And we want to bless you with this beautiful Bible here, where you can pick this up at the Jesus' Life Wall. We want to be able to engage with you and help you out on this journey and taking some steps to move forward in your faith. And so maybe someone from the worship team have seen your hand and maybe they may approach you. But if not, please make your way to the Jesus' Life Wall and pick up this free gift from us to you this morning. And so we love you guys. Come on, one more time. Give a hand to all those who made a decision.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to see you at one of our Sunday services. For locations and times, please visit soulchurch.com.